Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Anyone hanging upside down? Had anyone slipped out of their seatbelts?
Yeah, I mean, it was mass chaos. I was upside down. The lady next to me was upside down. We kind of let ourselves go and fell to hit the ceiling, which is surreal feeling. And then everybody was just like, get out, get out, get out. We could smell like jet fuel. Even now I smell like jet fuel. And then we just crawled out the back of the airplane.
That is a report. A New York Post shared that of a plane crash survivor from the Toronto crash. We got to specify which crash we're talking about now, because there have been so many of them. And it's kind of wild to see how these events have been unfolding. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Tuesday. I don't like short weeks because they always feel like longer weeks. I don't know. I have not even considered what today feels like. I'm just kind of in a blur. Had a really good weekend basketball tournament out of town. But if you know, you know, that does not feel like a weekend.
I do know that.
That does not feel like a break.
No.
Not mentally.
It's fun.
Not physically.
But it doesn't feel like you had a weekend.
Yes. So we are happy to be back here on a Tuesday. The weather outside is frightful, but Ryan is so delightful.
Oh, I'm always delightful, though, even when the weather's nice. But I woke up this morning a little surprised. I don't know about you guys.
You know, we have Dave Murray coming on at 1:25 to talk about the weather that's coming in. And I thought we could just cancel him and you could go do it from the roof again.
I am pretty good at that. I can tell you what's happening at the exact moment I'm in it.
Have you seen Mean Girls?
Yeah.
She's like, I have a fifth sense. She's like, she does weather reports outside in the rain. She's like, there's a 70% chance it's raining.
I don't think I remember any of that.
Oh,
I need to watch that movie again because you love it and you reference it.
Oh my gosh, yes. I reference Mean Girls probably 4 times as much as you guys even know.
Like we're missing most of it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There are people out there who are like, okay, she doesn't even go here. But yes, you got to go watch that. So had a great weekend with the basketball team. We were short some players. And so we took the people out. We took the people up who could come and they competed. We had 8 kids on a basketball team. And we've got broken fingers and people prioritizing their travel sports and being able to compete in a really big tournament here this weekend. And so we went up with what we had. And it was so fun to watch these kids play that hadn't gotten the opportunity. You know, like when you're playing a sport and how many team sports did you play with like high school or whatever?
In high school, I just golf was the only team I made.
Golf? Yeah. Did you try out for anything? Did you ever get cut?
Well, I tried a bunch in junior high and I didn't make the basketball team. And then I just kind of got out of certain sports. So I still played them, but just not with the school.
What about when you were in grade school?
Oh, I played everything in grade school and junior high.
Were you a starter on any of these team sports? Like, where'd you rank?
I would say...
I know what it's like to be the starter. When I was a senior in high school from basketball, I was voted MVP, except for I was not the best player. There was a sophomore who was better than me, but people didn't. I voted for her for MVP. she was better than me. She went on to be a D1 athlete for volleyball. I know what it's like to be like counted on. Like, if you can be in the game, you need to go be in the game. But I also absolutely know, because I went to Edwardsville High School, made the JV teams, was like, good job, Annie, mm-hmm. if you got in the game.
Oh, okay. Now, I was a point guard in basketball, so mm-hmm. I guess I was a starter in that sense.
It's really nice to be able to put kids in the game and just say go. And there's no, like, if you make a mistake, you're coming out. Like, the opportunity to try, to fail, and to not care. Like, just, do you know you did wrong? Go do it again. I was thinking this weekend on the way home about the Trump administration right now. And once you get to the point where you're on the other side of, like, when you're campaigning, everything's at stake. The whole thing is at stake. And you're at the fork in the road. You're going to go right. You're going to go left. And you can't just jump over from one to the other. Once you've made that commitment, once you've passed that fork in the road. And I keep waiting to see so many of the brand new things that Donald Trump is doing. So many of the innovative, outside of the box, jaw-dropping things that he's suggesting. Has he had any massive failures yet? Anything that he like ran out there and said, this is what we're going to do, and it just fell flat on its face? There have been lawsuits towards things, the 14th Amendment thing, but even the New York Times in the last few days has come out and said, well, there is a little gray area here where it questions birthright citizenship for people who are here illegally. Like, there's some space that needs to be clarified. And everybody understands, it's paying attention, that when Donald Trump puts this birthright citizen scratched it out thing out there for people to see through that executive order, he knows it's going to be challenged. The point is to get it challenged, to get it to the Supreme Court, likely, to get a ruling on it. So I don't really look at a lawsuit to try to stop something as a failure. I have to think they were anticipating that. Is there anything he's trotted out there right now that's been like, no, what a dumb idea that was?
There would only be two ways that he could have a loss this early, and one would be something that he did that everybody acknowledged, oh yeah, that didn't work, but I think it's a little too early for that. The other one would be that if he tried something and it legally just got smacked down immediately and everybody understood, yeah, that was, you couldn't do that. And neither one of those things have happened, so no.
Yeah, you know, I think about Joe Biden's efforts on student loans, and that one time where he was like, I'm just doing this, and the Supreme Court was like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, it's amazing.
If we were to see that from the Trump administration, the people on the left would pull their hair out if they had any hair out left to pull.
Right.
Hair left out to pull. Like, there is an apocalyptic meltdown on the left every day, and we aren't even seeing it. Because people don't care anymore. And the people who were in the middle of this election cycle who said, Kamala Harris, I can't vote for her. Fine, I'll give Donald Trump a shot. Or I'm just not willing. I can't vote for Kamala, but I'm not going to vote for the scary orange man. They knew when they did that they were doing a little bit of something that might help Donald Trump get elected. And that it really, there's some sort of like self-reconciliation of, I'm not going to vote for Kamala, but I can't vote for Donald Trump. It's kind of just like, you're just basically making it okay in your own heart for Donald Trump to get elected. You're really just coming to terms with yourself.
Terms with yourself,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's not, he's so prepared this time around. He's not hostile. He actually, every day that goes by when he does something new, when he signs more executive orders, he's so chill about it. It's so different than the first time around. And the more chill he is, the more panicked they are. And I don't know anybody who is just trying to absorb all of the panic from the MSNBCs of the world. People who are watching CNN in large part are watching for Scott Jennings. This what the media has so successfully done to Donald Trump up until this point, it's like none of it has any effect on Donald Trump and what he's trying to do anymore at all. And it's really like you got to kind of sit back and watch it and go, Wow. This is wild to see him get away with what he's getting away with.
It's Neo at the end of the Matrix. He's just kind of walking through it. He can see what all the attacks. He knows what they are. He's just sort of deflecting things without even really thinking about it anymore.
When did that come out?
99.
I did not watch that one. I could understand what was going on. Does it hold up?
Oh, yeah. It's
all
still
three?
It's actually, in some ways, it's better.
Yeah.
Not all three.
No.
The first one.
Well, walk me through it.
So the first movie is about a guy who gets unplugged from the system.
The Matrix.
And gets this big awakening. But then finds out, actually, that he's the one to stop the whole thing really from happening. And there's so many just interesting parallels, not just to our time right now, but you can, but to really any time of just being outside of the system, but then going back into it to manipulate it, to change it, to fix it. And then by the end of the movie, like I said, he's no longer affected by it at all. He's completely outside of it, even though he's within it.
This is Trump?
I mean, in a sense, that's the way he's acting right now, because he's not afraid of anything.
Is that whole story in the first movie?
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Then it goes south.
Then it gets weird.
Are the second and the third not worth the rewatch?
They're interesting because of the amazing fight scenes and the way that they shot them.
Not
and
the
stuff.
Story?
It's interesting because you could put a bow on it after the first one, but then the second and the third, kind of like the way Star Wars
does.
But
there is money to still be made.
Absolutely.
Right. Kind of way Star Wars is. They actually flesh out the story that they led you to believe how it was going to end at the end of the first movie.
I could just go back and pretend there was one?
Yep.
Just watch the first one.
And
they made a fourth one, which I was very excited about. Came out like 2 years, year and a half ago, maybe. It was basically just the first movie again.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, that was good. You remember that? Let's do that one again.
Did it make money?
I don't know. I'll look it up, but I don't know.
Is it rated R?
Yeah.
What's it rated R for?
Violence.
Probably violence and a little bit of language.
Is there any nakedness?
No.
Or any of that?
I don't think there's that much to worry about with that movie. Mm-hmm. There may be something that pops out that I don't remember.
I don't need my kids to see my kids. I'm pretty much talking about my oldest, my 15-year-old boy.
He'll be fine.
I know things, like my daughter can handle some things that are on the rough side of PG-13, I would say. But, you know, you don't want to overexpose her to filth. But there are things like, my husband is looking for an opportunity to sit them down so they can watch The Patriot.
Oh, yeah. This is the fun part of being a dad.
Listen to you. Your voice went
a couple octaves lower.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're like Tim Allen. That movie is rated R because of I've seen it before, but it's been so long, but it's incredibly graphically gory. But my husband's like, it's historical. So he wants to show. And you know, I think he shows that movie in his class, but it's a permission slip required movie and all that type of stuff. But, you know, he wants them, he would love to watch that movie specifically with my son. I don't know that my oldest daughter would care for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need to see that. But some of these movies that are rated R from decades ago, I feel like if there is a purpose to it other than, oh, this is just a great story, we're at that place where it's like, do we open the door for that? But the sexy time stuff is out. We're not doing that.
Sure. But honestly, The Matrix, it is so dripping with symbolism about life and about being a part of this greater thing and changing it. It is like the life lessons. You don't even have to teach them. You just sit there and watch it and you get it.
Okay, maybe we'll do it.
You should do it. And by the way, just to put a bow on this thing, President Trump's job approval continues to stay extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
So he's fending off all these things that are coming at him like in their dust particles. He just blows them off. And everybody, even people who didn't vote for him, are approving of him based on the numbers.
How long can this last?
I don't know. That's a good question.
How long can we... It's like he's untouchable. And so much of it is Donald Trump's zero fudge brownies given.
Mm-hmm.
You hate it? That means I'm doing it right. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Elon Musk doing Elon Musk things. I'm always... he's a guy who I'm always kind of like wavering, like, ooh, is he getting a little close to pushing it a little bit too far? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, he's funny. I'm entertained by it. And I want people like Elon Musk around Donald Trump to throw wacky, wild ideas that are feeble IQs would never come up with. And Donald Trump's like, that's a great idea. And Elon, go home, you're drunk. Like, I trust Donald Trump to look at Elon and be like, nah, good try, get out of here. Or to go, that's brilliant, go do it. And things just get done. The rapid speed with which we are watching America first, people first government take place, which ironically has a lot to do with giving you your tax dollars back as opposed to figuring out ways to add to the tax dollars that are being ripped from your paycheck. Watching the space or the pace and the speed with which Donald Trump is able to be effective, it is like a different reality to go back and think about what we dealt with when Joe Biden was in the presidency.
Yeah, it's a completely different world.
And how scary would it have been if Kamala Harris would have been elected and been this effective in what she was trying to get done?
It's not just America that knows it either. The whole world sees it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's completely accurate. All right, let's talk to Ryan Schmelz when we come back. Our Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent going to hang out with us for here to talk to us about the big, beautiful bill. Is it going to get done? I've heard those rumblings that Tom Homan is running out of funds to do what he needs to do in the border. It's like the border crossing numbers are like in the hundreds. Like you could count that high yourself.
It's like lower than COVID.
It is. It's unbelievable. But he needs to have the resources in order to completely secure the border. And they're going to need to pass a border security bill. They're going to need to pass the tax cut extension or make it permanent. There's so much that needs to be done. It needs to be done on Capitol Hill. Of course, a Republican majority in both houses, but a very razor thin one in the House. Ryan Schmelz gives us the latest on the Annie Fry Show next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to kind of give you an update what's on the agenda for this week. First of all, today we go in at 5:30 in the Senate, and we'll confirm Howard Lutnick, and then we'll proceed with the procedural motion to move to executive order. Which executive order is when we start doing really nominees. Legislative is when we start doing bills. We have to move from legislative to executive. That's what we'll do today. And then we'll put Kash Patel on the clock, which means we could vote on him really as early as tomorrow if the Democrats want to play nice with us, which I doubt they will. More than likely, we'll be voting on him on Thursday morning. And then we'll get a few other noms done to this week, too. As we go through the process, I'll make sure I keep you guys updated.
Well, that's Senator Mark Wayne Mullen talking about the Senate schedule this week. And there's still some really key things that need to happen in order for Donald Trump to get his cabinet approved. And Howard Lutnick, I don't know. Is that going to be a scandalous one? Who knows? But of course, Kash Patel is the one major prize left for Donald Trump to get across the finish line that I think the Democrats are freaking out about the most. So we go to our friend who is there on the ground at Capitol Hill, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent, Ryan Schmelz. And he joins us once again here on the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So we got a little bit of a breakdown there from Senator Mullen from Oklahoma about what the Senate is looking like, the schedule this week. How do you feel about the Howard Lutnick and Kash Patel confirmations? Are we going to see the thumbs up by the end of the week on both of those?
I think it's trending in that direction. I don't think Howard Lutnick's going to really have too much drama attached to it. It'll probably get every single Republican vote. Maybe a Democrat here or there. We'll see. I mean, you've seen some nominees get upwards of 20 Democrats on board. You've seen others get past the 60 to 70 vote threshold. So we'll see what Lutnick's able to do. I don't really expect this to be one that has a lot of drama attached to it. I think the extent of that drama is going to be a party line vote. Now, on the other hand, you've got Kash Patel. That one's going to be a little bit more interesting, but just the way that things have been trending, it just seems like Kash Patel has done what he needs to do to get across the finish line here. I think we're all once again going to be watching, though, to see what former Republican leader Mitch McConnell does in this situation. He's the only nominee to vote for more than two or against more than two of Donald Trump's nominees so far. He's voted for against three in total. So does he make it four with the Kash Patel nomination?
That's a real. I was going to ask you about Mitch McConnell, even in a broader sense here, about his health, about his presence, about his influence. What is the Mitch McConnell mystique right now on in the Senate? Does he have influence on senators? Is he present in these conversations, or is he kind of just showing up and doing his Mitch McConnell thing?
It seems like he's kind of keeping to himself, that he's not trying to put any major pressure on anybody or try to sway them one way or the other. He's always been available for, you know, counsel if they so choose to, but it doesn't seem like he's really swayed anybody away from any particular nominee. And that you see that as an example, because there's been multiple times where he's been the only person to vote against a nominee. You saw it happen with Tulsi Gabbard. You saw it happen with RFK Jr. And to think, too, that this is kind of setting up for a very interesting possible showdown down the road. You know, Doge wants to come in and make some changes to the Pentagon and kind of demand more accountability so the Pentagon, oops, that was my mic, can finally pass an audit. But here's the thing. Mitch McConnell is the appropriations chair when it comes to military spending. We could be setting up for an interesting face-off between Doge, Donald Trump, and Mitch McConnell down the road.
You know, I just think it's kind of a shocking thing to observe in the last couple of years. We've watched Mitch McConnell really rule the Senate with an iron fist. He had a very strong command over what was going to happen, what he was able to do going into the 2016 election when he pulled back that Barack Obama nominee for the Supreme Court was a very strong and bold move. And I think it had a lot to do with getting Donald Trump the opportunity to win that nomination in the presidency. And then you go to where he steps down from leadership, but he remains in the Senate. We know that his health is a challenge for him as well. I'm curious, does he explain a lot of his votes the way he's going or the things that he's doing when it's a departure from what the majority of the Republicans are doing there in the Senate? Does he talk?
He explains it through statements, but it's very rare that he does any type of media gaggle or media appearance. And it's gotten, I think, a lot less frequent now that he's facing these health issues, too. You know, that's kind of one thing we're getting used to with John Thune, is that he is a little bit more of an open book compared to what McConnell was. McConnell's extent of talking to the press was normally the weekly press conference they would have. And he'd probably take, you know, three questions on a given day. So that was if we were lucky. There were a couple times when he took a little bit more here and there, but McConnell really wasn't a very vocal figure, maybe vocal behind the scenes, but not somebody who ate up a lot of attention. And so now that he's not in this position of leadership, it's even more of a quiet front on his end. But you do see him put out statements, and he's put out some pretty harsh statements whenever he's voted no against one of President Trump's nominees. Go back to Tulsi Gabbard. You look at Pete Hegseth. And then, of course, you look at RFK Jr. There were some pretty intense statements that he put out, but he's not saying them vocally. He's just doing them on paper.
So we're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He's in Capitol Hill right now. The cabinet, it looks like it's imminent. The question will be, you know, is it a short amount of time? Do they put up the fight they can, even though at the end it'll probably still result in those confirmations of Donald Trump's nominees? The other huge thing that Americans are watching closely, and we know that the president is urging consistently, is the passage of that big, beautiful bill, maybe two bills. What's the process right now on getting the tax cuts that made permanent in order to get the security funding, all of the things that need to be done right now on the start in the House, working with the Senate? Where's that bill at right now?
So we could see some movement from the Senate this week, but their bill is way different in the fact that it does have the same amount of money for border security, national security, as well as energy policy. The pay-fors are relatively similar, where they're going to require respective committees to go find the cuts to offset the any additional spending that's in there. But what's interesting is that the Senate version does not include tax law. On the other hand, the House version does include tax law, so it's vastly more complex than what the Senate one looks like. So on the House side, you've got $4.5 trillion in there for taxes, renewing the Trump taxes, adding no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, the SALT tax deduction, which is big for a lot of blue state Republicans. But It also requires them to have $2 trillion worth of spending cuts. 1.5 is the low number, and then they want to get up to $2 trillion as the goal. Mm. But the thing is, if they're not able to find $2 trillion in cuts, then they have to go take provisions away from the tax bill and then use those to offset the difference in savings. So that might set up for a little bit of an issue down the road if they're able to get it across the finish line. But you're already seeing some New York and California, New Jersey Republicans come out and say that they're concerned that there won't be enough SALT deductions involved in this. And then you also have some Republicans putting out warning signs saying that they might vote against this because they're concerned that this could lead to cuts in benefits for people who need it, like Medicaid and Medicare. Donald Trump has been pretty adamant that that's not going to happen, but it's not set in stone, at least according to some of these folks. So I think there's a little bit of a warning sign being flirted with by a number of maybe more moderate leaning Republicans.
Ryan, this is Ryan, and it's a little early in the process, but how long will this budget last? Are they working on something that will last a year? Is it longer than that? You know, when do they come back and have to do this again?
Right. So this is a budget reconciliation. So this is essentially the reconciliation process is a way for them to skirt the 60 vote threshold in the Senate, get something across that only requires 50 votes. This wouldn't really apply to funding the government in its entirety long term. That process is still being worked out. Right now, you have leadership in Republican and Democrat circles meeting behind closed doors, trying to hash out a top line number that would likely fund the government probably through September is what we're looking at there. But you've got this little back and forth going on where Leader Jeffries, the top Democrat in the House, is accusing Republicans of walking away from negotiations and wanting to go it alone. But then you see some other Republicans like Susan Collins pushing back on that and saying, no, he's misinformed. We actually just met last night. So from what it sounds like, those talks are still ongoing. They haven't reached a top line number. But an interesting aspect of this is that you have a Republican like Warren Davidson from Ohio who came out of the weekly GOP conference meeting last week and said, we're not even talking about the November 14th deadline. So that's kind of a little bit of a concern for some people in this building that this is just not getting the attention that it needs.
Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now from Capitol Hill. I'm curious about the reactions, whatever you're picking up there in the hallways about the efforts of DOGE and what they've been able to cut. We found how many people are getting payments, it seems, on Social Security or whatever, that are 150 years old, 4.7 is it trillion? I get the M's, the B's, and the T's mixed up, of payments that aren't traceable. I mean, there's so many massive questions that may, I feel like we always have to be prepared for there to be a logical explanation that just hasn't been pinned down yet. But for the people who are actually overseeing Doge and overseeing Elon Musk in the Congress there, what are you hearing from people regarding the efforts and the results that they're putting up so far?
Well, Republicans think this is a winning issue. They think that waste, fraud, and abuse is something that they should have been focused on back during the first Trump administration. So they're trying to make up for lost time in many ways. So I think Republicans are pretty unified about this. But I think there is this concern about, is Doge going to get into benefits? Is that going to become an issue? And then also, Doge is starting to focus on the Pentagon. And there's been at least one Republican who said, be a little mindful when you go to the Pentagon, because we don't want to do anything that might make us less safe or our military less strong. But at the same time, when you consistently fail audits every single year, I think that there is a push by Republicans to start rooting out waste that they can possibly find in the Pentagon. And that's an issue that might get some Democrats on board with, especially progressive Democrats. But I think there might be a little bit of a question going on about the legality of what Doge is doing, because a lot of it's governed through executive order. I think there is a thought amongst Republicans that they do need to start codifying some of this into law and passing it as legislation, so that it holds up better legally with the Supreme Court, because that's the argument that Democrats are really hitting on. The one thing they've kind of focused on recently with their messaging is going after this firing of inspector generals, where they've pointed out that there has been millions and billions of dollars that the IGs have uncovered over the years that was waste, fraud, and abuse, and is actually an example of waste, fraud, and abuse. And Democrats are arguing that because Donald Trump fired a lot of these IGs, it's going to make it harder to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and also hold the administration accountable.
Hmm. Well, Ryan, you gave us the best info. We appreciate you so much for coming to us directly from Capitol Hill, and we look forward to having you back again soon and getting the information directly from the guy who's there talking to the people on Capitol Hill. It's really, really wonderful to have you, Ryan. Thanks for being here with us again.
It's wonderful to be on. Thank you so much, Annie.
Take care. Ryan Schmell is Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Our friend there on the ground talking to the people. And it's great to get, you see a lot of stuff on X, you know. Certainly see a lot of stuff from Elon Musk. I mean, if you want to go straight to the source, you can always know what he's thinking about things. And then, of course, you see stuff that people are putting out there on social media. But you know, the Mitch McConnell thing to me is maybe a little palace intrigue, but the man is certainly not well. And he's aged, and he, as we have been talking about lately, you know, he dealt with polio at a young age. He's been publicly unwell multiple times. And now he just it's like somebody who's some people are going to go crazy when I say this, that he served the Republican Party so well. And then at the end, it's just like it turns into this bitterness and this self-righteousness thing that it's like you're ruining the whole thing.
Yeah.
John McCain.
It's a strange legacy.
Yeah. Why? Like, what is it? What is it when you spend that much time in government that at the end you just veer so far away from? I just got to think there's some ego thing to it that's like, I just know better. I've been here long enough. I just know what you don't know. And maybe you don't care as much about the politics of it. So you're kind of just putting away the things that you did to smooth stuff over. I know that Mitch McConnell is persona non grata in most Republican circles right now. I don't think that seat's going to go to a Democrat. But I didn't think Sessions' seat would go to a Democrat either in Alabama. Stop running crap candidates, people. Do you remember that campaign? Yeah. It was like, what's the stupidest thing we could do? All right, great idea. Let's go do that. If Mitch McConnell, he's already said he's not running again, correct? He said he was stepping down from leadership at the time he made the announcement, and then he said that this would be his final term. So he's not gonna run again. There's no way he could run again. Although I assume that if he did run again, he'd probably win.
I see conflicting reports about that some reporters push back and go, oh, well, actually, he hasn't said for sure that he said he's out of leadership.
That's basically like it's probably people on the left. And they're like, I think he crossed his fingers behind his back.
it could be.
It was almost a day.
You know, he's taken a lot of heat, too, for all of his support for spending on Ukraine. And I don't know if that is where, yeah, exactly. But I don't know if that's where he kind of said, well, I'm no longer part of MAGA or whatever.
Thing,
I don't know.
The thing about Mitch McConnell, I think the overarching thing that kind of envelops exactly what you're talking about is it just seems like Mitch McConnell thinks Mitch McConnell knows best, regardless of anything. If the people are saying one thing and he disagrees, he's 100% going with Mitch McConnell every time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't...
And sometimes that's been great.
Sometimes.
And other times it's been foolish.
If you're talking about senatorial procedure things, because he was a master at understanding how to utilize the rules and the system to his own benefit. Just like the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi's an expert at this too. And I think a lot of us look at Republicans and say, take notes and do the thing. It's a difficult road to navigate because you hate it when the Democrats do it and you want the Republicans to do it when they have the chance to. But there's this unfortunate thing in the middle called principle, and you have to ask yourself where you stand on those things. And sometimes I think Mitch McConnell was willing to do the very, very publicly unpopular thing where the Democrats could throw it all at him. But he knew procedurally. And I go back to the Merrick Garland. Good God, that man could have been on the Supreme Court. He could have been on the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell is the one who kept that from happening. And because people are like, do I want Hillary Clinton to pick the Supreme Court nominee or do I want Donald Trump to pick the Supreme Court nominee? They thought that, you know, I don't know, Donald Trump could have picked Hulk Hogan to be a Supreme Court nominee as far as everyone was concerned in 2016. But you knew what you got with Hillary and everybody was like, don't want that. So they gave Donald Trump a chance. And I think the Supreme you could go back and listen to the tapes in 2016. I didn't like Donald Trump for the obvious reasons why people didn't like him. In the field of Republicans, he was maybe close to my last pick. Fruit Ninja Kasich was my last pick. But I was so wrong about it. And I'm going to say it. I think God said, all right, everybody sit down. You're going to watch this. And we learned.
We're still watching it.
Yes. And Mitch McConnell helped set all of this in motion, which is just kind of ironic because I think Mitch McConnell hates Donald Trump. So.
I know. But his legacy on the Supreme Court, because it's not just Merrick Garland, it's not just Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. It's also the other end of that term with Amy Coney Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said yes to that.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to do Wiggins America. It's the Tuesday roundup because it's not Monday. And that's... And is this an easy segment for you to do, this installation?
I wouldn't say it's... No, I'd actually say that there's more that's put into this one than of the others.
I want to acknowledge your efforts.
Thank you very much.
Tuesday Roundup and Wiggins America next. Don't go away.
Tuesday afternoon, Monday roundup. That's how that works.
I get it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
So you know when you produce things for a radio show and it sounds really good, some people just like let it slide and be like, that's just what we do.
Not me.
Ryan's like, did you see what I did there?
Did you see him looking around the room?
Yeah, he's
like,
looking for
while
affirmation.
It was playing. He was looking for all of our reactions.
It's like when you potty train a toddler and they do a poopy in the potty and they come out with a big smile on their face and they want their M&M.
It's almost exactly like that. I still do that.
I'll give you your M&M later.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would like at least a little pack of them. I'm an adult.
I know there's a conflict here.
You want people to react like you're a child, but you want an adult reward.
When I come out of the bathroom, I want more payoff.
Okay.
All right. Here are stories that you missed over the weekend, the long weekend, because it's Tuesday.
I need a break.
The first one is a Aussie. That's what you call Australians,
yeah.
Right? Aussie.
They're my people.
So 25%. An Aussie has gone viral for sharing a loophole in self-checkout. Well, they call
this,
it...
I'm going to interject here real quick and say I'm pretty sure it's not a loophole. It's probably stealing.
No, it's not.
Okay.
And that's why I found this one very, very interesting. Because according to him, the self-checkout scales aren't sensitive enough to accurately measure really light things. So what he's done is...
He measures like his tomatoes individually?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's stealing.
He's measuring like little chilies one by one. And you still pay for them because they're just measuring downward.
But you're paying
but
less.
But if you were to put the whole thing on at once, it would be a lot more.
How did he figure that out?
I think probably trial and error.
How many? What does he need all these chilies for?
I'm not sure. But you're right. Like with little, if you're buying little things, you could weigh them one by one.
I'm going to tell you that if you're doing that intentionally to pay less, that's theft.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was asking, is do you think that this is
theft,
couth or uncouth?
It sounds like something you do, and I think it should be illegal.
It sounds like the Ryan like KFC cup thing where it's like, what if I come back up here and then go back downstairs and refill it?
Yeah, Ryan got his refillable cup, which is just a cup he got with his Valley meal, and you'd use it for weeks and weeks.
No, I would not. I would use it for a day. I'd maybe go back down later in the day. But don't people do this at gas stations all the time? You just buy a cup?
Yeah, if they're stealing.
You go throughout
the
day?
They have the cups that you buy that are like, that's the deal that you buy when you get that cup. Not the styrofoam cups that you pull out of the...
Does it say that? Does it say you can only use this while in the store?
I don't think
you can
it
only
has
get a free refill
it.
While you're here standing drinking in the store?
Yes, that's what it means.
I'm on your side, Ryan.
Thank you.
Oh, Ethan, stop it.
Thank you.
At least with that one.
Thank you.
With
nobody
the gas
else.
Station?
Still, I'm still processed. The gas station one, I'm totally on his side.
See?
I'm a little bit. I'm
so
still.
So you buy a 32 ounce styrofoam cup from Quick Trip and you fill it with your soda
sure.
of choice. And how many times are you coming back? You're leaving Quick Trip and you're coming back. How many times are you doing that and filling it up again?
I'm saying I have no issues with doing that in like that day a couple of times. I don't think there's anything wrong with going and filling up something you probably overpaid for in the first place.
You didn't
place.
Overpay for it. The price is the price. You agree
you,
on the
you,
price
you
when you make the purchase.
You choose to pay for it. And I don't have any problem with paying even $1.50 for a drink.
Now,
but
if you go
right,
in there and you
free
say,
refills.
If you walk into that Quick Trip or whatever and you're like, hey, I just bought this earlier this afternoon. Do you care if I get another refill? And they say, yeah, go ahead. Then you're golden.
That's good to know. Ethan, final point?
I still stand by my case.
Okay.
How do you just fill
and
it up
whip
and
has
walk
spoken.
Out?
No, that's it. Conversation's done. The whip is done.
You run.
Have you ever walked
Russell,
into a gas
go,
station,
go.
Gotten a drink, and they go, just go?
Yeah.
I've had that happen several times recently. Yeah. Like, really? You
don't
want
care.
Anything?
What's,
yeah, exactly. That's
a big
my
long
point.
Line
I went into.
Like.
I went into. I'm not even going to specify because people might trace back to these folks. I went into an auto parts store, and I needed to replace the headlamp in the front headlight, and I was going to buy new windshield wipers. And I always say to my, I don't know if people get mad at this, I always say to my husband, like, do you want to do this, or do you just want me to go in and act like a dumb woman and have them do it themselves? He's like, go do that. So I go into AutoZone, and I'm like, oh.
Like you're fainting.
I'm in distress.
My headlight's out. I'm so scared to drive at night. And they're like, oh, man. Let
what even are brakes?
And so it's not that dramatic, but it's maybe close. And they're very happy to fix it. Young men who go out and take care of it, no problem. So I told my oldest two kids I needed new windshield wipers. And I said, go find the windshield wipers we need for the car. And they're like, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, figure it out. Because they've got the big like phone book like things in there and maybe a couple computer systems. I'm like, just imagine that you didn't have help. Go figure it out. And they stood there for like 10 minutes and didn't figure it out. Finally, the associate helps him. My son's walking this and I go, oh, I guess we need to pay you for these. And the guy goes, you could walk out. We're not even allowed to stop you. I'd pretty much encourage you to just do
oh
it.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, whoa. He goes, yeah, it's pretty stupid. But if you walk out of here, we're not supposed to do anything.
He told you too much.
Yes. They're just two probably college
age guys. He was basically like, look, here's the rules and what you can get away with. Why don't you go ahead and try that?
He goes, we're not supposed to say anything to you. We're not supposed to stop you. We're just supposed to let you go. I'm like, well, I would like to pay for them.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, to my son, I'm like, earmuffs. Anywho. Whip.
Your son's like, hey, look at that cool rim over there. I'm going to take that.
He definitely was not like that.
All right, Doge impersonators storm San Francisco City Hall demanding sensitive documents. These are a bunch of people. There's three guys who came in saying they represented Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency and demanded that City Hall at San Francisco hand over a bunch of documents related to alleged wasteful government spending and fraud. They have not been found. Nobody knows who these guys are, but they were impersonating, which just goes to show that not all who are Doge are Doge.
What if it actually was Elon Musk?
I think it's funny that we now have people, imposters, who are like, we want government data. Protesting is even better in Donald Trump's America.
Yeah, and nobody knows really if they were actually trying to get the documents or if they were trying to prove a point. They were trying to, you know, say,
and
look
they,
how easily.
They didn't get anything?
They didn't get anything. Yeah. It just goes to show you.
If you're going to try to get that, don't go to San Francisco. Go to Louisiana or
yeah,
something.
Which makes you think maybe Missouri. That they were trying to be like, look how dumb these guys are and prove a point. But they were not of Doge. They were of the Synagogue of Satan. real quick, after 44 years, Donkey Kong player discovers that the legendary kill screen isn't really the end. 44 years, and somebody finally beat the kill screen on the original Donkey Kong.
What does that mean?
So you'd get super far in the game, I think it's level 22, and then the game would just malfunction and stop after like 11 seconds. Well, somebody figured out how to beat that level in 11 seconds, and they unlocked 5 new levels that nobody knew existed.
What?
Did Donkey Kong people know that that was the case?
No. Well, they knew the kill screen was there. They didn't know you. They thought there was no way you could beat the kill screen.
They just thought it was an error.
They thought it was that glitch was the end of the game.
That's awesome.
It is pretty cool.
I'm glad we know that. Jim Carafano and Dave Murray next. Don't go away. Forget I'm a lady. Man should.